Welcome to the broadcast from Christian Outreach Center in Sisseton, South Dakota. It's a joy to come to you each week and to bring the message of Jesus Christ and the truth and the power of God's Word. We pray today that your life is touched by the message and the hope that is in Him.
And God is able to make, now listen to this, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work, as is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. And may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Very interesting portion, very beautiful portion of Scripture. But it's deeper than just taking your money and throwing it in an offering plate. Although you would read that and you think, all he's talking about is money. God wants more than your money. He wants you. He wants all of you. He wants not just part of you. He wants everything you are and everything you have. How many of you own anything? If you own something, it's permanently yours. Do you ever see a hearse with a U-Haul? I heard about a lady that put in her will, they had to bury her in her Ferrari. Otherwise, they don't get her millions. The kids did. She didn't go anywhere with it. And so it's very interesting as you look at what we lay claim to and say is ours when everything is God's. And we are His stewards on this earth. But when we talk about giving of ourselves, and there's a lot of T's here, giving of your time, your talents, your tithe, your testimony, given everything, holding absolutely nothing back. And there are times we don't give because we don't think it's going to be replenished. There are times we just hold on to things and hold on to things and hold on to things because we think, if I give this, there's nothing left. If I give them my time, if I give them my efforts, if I give them my testimony, have you ever seen any shortages in the kingdom of God? Have you ever seen a God that can't provide? I'm even going to show you how He's going to provide your energy to do the things that He's asking you to do. Because people burn out when they try to do everything God has asked them to do on their own, and they don't come to God, they don't ask Him for His strength, they don't ask Him for His help, they just go out and start doing things. And you will burn out. But when God is leading it, and God's empowering you, and God is strengthening you, and God is doing the work through you, that's absolutely rest. Rest is not putting your feet up in a recliner and watching television. That's not the rest God talks about. In fact, is that I'm there. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 11. And we'll finish this other part up in a few moments. Matthew chapter 11. I want to break this down for you. You probably heard it. You probably quoted it. You may have memorized it. Now, isn't it amazing that some of you here have gone from Friday through Thursday night, and then there was another meeting here Friday night, and you still got your eyes open. You're not exhausted. Some of you may say, I'd like a break, but you're not exhausted. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me. Here's the first thing. Come. The invitation from God is always to come. All you who labor. How many of you did something this morning that caused you to work? Was it that hard to get the girls up? The hardest part of his day. Oh, I'm sorry. I will say no more. Come unto me, all you who labor. That means something very special. That means that you're working in every fiber of your body is feeling the effort. It's not going to work and drinking coffee all day. It's not just saying I have a job. It's saying I work at my job. I'll be nice. I feel when I'm done with work that I'm tired. I'm weary. Probably the ones that are most weary when the day is over are the women who are watching the kids. How many know what I'm talking about? And maybe that only takes an hour to get weary with that. But Jesus understands that there's weariness that sets in. And he says, come to me. All you who labor, all you who are weary and heavy laden or burdened down, and you will find rest for your souls. Kind of interesting. You're burdened down, you're carrying the weights. Let's look at that burden real quick. If you're carrying the weight by yourself and it's robbing your joy and your peace, you're not doing it right. Because you're going to hear in a few moments where Jesus says, take my yoke. Be yoked to me. He says, I will give you. And this is what the word rest means. I'll give you relaxation, I'll refresh you, and I'll keep you calm. I will give you rest. I will relax you in the midst of what you're doing. I will refresh you when you feel that you are weary and worn out. And I will keep you calm. How many of you ever lost your temper in the middle of a long work? Hard work. I know. None of you have. Jesus says, you don't have to do that. I'll keep you calm. I'll give you my rest. How many realize that in 33 and a half years, there's no record of Jesus ever panicking? In fact is, when he was going to the cross, the Bible says he set his face like flint to get to Jerusalem so they could crucify him. And there were many other places he could have been, but he couldn't be there because that was his mission. And And so we go through a lot of things. We struggle with a lot of things. We fight with a lot of things. And a lot of times the battle is internal. Because we don't come. And we fail to realize a very important point, and that is the time we do not spend in prayer is shorter than the job when we try to do it on our own. It's quicker to get on your face before God and talk to God and be refreshed and say, Jesus, I really need your help. I know you're with me. I'm reaching out to you. That is shorter than trying to do what God has told you to do on your own. So then he says, take my yoke. A wooden yoke or a steel yoke or a metal yoke, it combines two of the animals together. So one is not pulling alone. They combine the strength of two animals to pull the load. You see the point? Jesus is telling his body, be yoked with him. Be yoked with him. Now, there can be no doubt that Christ is more powerful than we are. But he infuses us with his power, and then he pulls with us or ministers with us what he's called us to do. How many have ever tried on your own to get somebody saved? You've tried and you've tried and you've preached and you've tried and you got such a burning compassion. You feel the weight of if they don't accept Christ. But what if you allow Christ to do it with you? What if you come to a place of saying, Christ, this is your child. You love that person even more than I do. I'm going to connect with you in this yoking. I'm going to pull with you, knowing that you know how to do it, and I'm just going to let it happen. But too often, we hear somebody tell us how to do it, some preacher. We see how somebody else tried to do it. And we picked it up. We pick it up. Let's go do it. There's one thing about God. He always has perfect timing. The Bible says in the fullness of time in Galatians chapter 4, God sent his son, born of a woman. Fullness of time. And so what we're doing, God wants to do with us. But we want his priority to be ours. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. Very interesting word, easy. Seems like a small word. The word easy means it's delightful, it's pleasurable, it's comfortable. Yoking ourselves with Christ is comfortable. It's pleasurable, it's delightful. When we do it on our own, it can be all the opposite. And there are times God just waits for us to come to him. He just waits for us to come to Him. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 9. Simple question. How many of you consider yourselves diakonos, minister or a servant? I really got impressed with the scripture in Matthew 20:26, and Jesus was talking. The disciples had come to Him, who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? You know, can John and Andrew sit on your right hand or your left hand, James and John? And Jesus looked at him and said this, and it's powerful when you look at it because it has a very interesting connotation. He says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve or to minister." If your desire is to be great in the kingdom, become the servant of all. Become the minister to everybody. So I looked and looked and looked and looked and looked at what the word great meant. I never found an answer, so I just started reviewing Kirk's life. If you want to be great in the kingdom, it talks about being chief. If you want to be chief in the kingdom, you're going to be the servant. I went through Greek book after Greek book after Greek book, and when you start looking it up and you find the word great, there's so many different connotations of great. But it talks about being the chief. Leader. And most people say, well, I can never be great. I can never be the leader. It's not what you're thinking about that matters. It's what you're, how you're ministering that matters. The whole connotation of giving ourselves, first of all, when you accepted Christ, we gave ourselves to Christ, and then giving ourselves to people. For God so loved that He did what? He gave. God so loved, He gave. There was no resistance in Him giving His Son and Himself to the people. No resistance. In fact, is James writes in the book of James, you say you have faith? Show me your corresponding action. Show me what your faith does. Don't just come in here and say, well, I have faith. Show me what the corresponding, the relating action to faith is. It's not sitting around and watching people go to hell. Love has characteristics. People say, well, I love. Does anybody know how much you love? Has anybody seen your love in action? Oral Roberts has a little saying, and I remember it from all the movies I used to watch when we were in high school. We'd go to church and they'd show Oral Roberts movies on Wednesday nights of his services. And Oral Roberts says this, a bell's not a bell until you ring it. A song's not a song until you sing it. Love was never put in your heart to stay there. Love is not love. Love was not put in your heart to stay. Love is not love until you give it away. God loved, and what did he do? He gave. You know, people don't really care how much I say I love them until they see the actions that goes with that love. It was interesting to watch people all week. I spent the week in India. One little girl walks in and says, "Sure don't look like India to me." I said, "How do you know? You ever been there?" "No." "This is India." Watching people interact. Watching the leaders just love on kids and love on people. And what amazing unity and love was there. You get 60 adults with 140 kids. That used to make 200. I don't know what it makes with the new math. Caring about each other. You would think a thought or think you needed something and it was there. I'm not trying to embellish it. It was great. Absolutely great for me, but even greater for our community and great for the kingdom of God. Why? Because people gave. They didn't just say, "Hey, I love you." How many have ever told anybody you love them, but that's as far as it went? That's as far as it went. I saw that hand, brother. And so there are things we need to give. You know, it's kind of interesting, but give people the opportunity to refuse Jesus. You say, "Well, where's your faith there?" Just give them the opportunity. If they don't refuse him, they'll accept him. But we get so afraid that they're going to refuse God, we don't say anything about God because we're afraid they're going to abandon us and run away from us and do all the things and maybe even say, "Man, I don't want none of this Jesus stuff." That's an option. Give your testimony. Share with what Christ has done in your life. That's exciting. You know it all. It's kind of boring to you now. But it's not to other people. Give your talents. "Well, I don't have any." Who told you that? Who told you you don't have any talents? Who said your job is to come in this church and sit in a pew and some people realize they didn't come this morning? Their talent wasn't being used. No. But who said you don't have talents and gifts and all this stuff? As I came in this morning and just sat down and started thinking, what can I give away? What can I give? And I just started writing down some things. Let's just go over it quickly. I can give to them the salvation that Jesus has given to me. Although God saves them, he's empowered us to give that. Amen? I can give them the baptism in the Holy Spirit or teach them how to get there. Doesn't cost me anything. I can tell them when they're struggling, there's a power from on high that can change your life and fill you and anoint you and touch you and give you divine energy and give you power to witness. I can share with them the fruit of the Spirit. love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. Share it. You can share with them the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, working of miracles, gift of tongues, prophecy, interpretation, working of miracles, healings, and all that. You can share that. You know what else you can give them? You can give them deliverance. You can give them freedom through Christ. You can pray for the sick and see them healed. Amen?
Yes, sir. Your love, oh God, display for us as crimson cover. For all to see. Nothing is greater.